You are Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to an emergency podcast version of Locked On Nuggets. I'm your host, Matt Moore, senior NBA writer of the Action Network, Nuggets insider for 104.3 The Fan Denver, joined by Adam Mares from DMVR.com. You can find his work at TheDMVR.com and on Twitter at Adam_Mares. Coming to you with big news. The Denver Nuggets have agreed to a four-year, $92 million extension with Aaron Gordon to retain their big trade pickup from the season. Lots to dissect here, and we will get to that. But first, I need to tell you about Locked On NBA. Tuesdays on the Locked On NBA podcast is East meets West. Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News and host of Locked On Warriors, who joined me just a few weeks ago, and David Ramil, host of Locked On Heat, tackle the biggest NBA stories of the day coast to coast. Follow the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get podcasts. Adam, this is going to be a deal where, and I tried to get out in front of it on Twitter to try and be like, okay, everyone's going to think this is stupid. You need to put this in context and it'll make a lot more sense. I think this is a deal that's going to get criticism from, I'll just go ahead and say it. I think Mark Kisla is probably going to be pretty negative about this deal because this seems like the kind of deal he'd be negative about. I think there will be a discussion about, is Aaron Gordon really worth $24 million, which I think is the wrong framework to use. If you use that framework, I'll start here. If you use that framework, I think that's then it's sound. I don't think Aaron Gordon is a $24 million a year player.
Correct.
In an objective sense. If the Orlando Magic paid Aaron Gordon $24 million a year, I'd be like, why? Why did you do this? If the Houston Rockets next season added him for $24 million a year, I'd be like, you're not probably going to get value out of that contract. But, and I'll say this, if the Denver Nuggets only had one of Jamal Murray or Nikola Jokic, then I think this is an overpay. They have both and MPJ, and that's where this contract goes from being an overpay to being like, okay, that makes sense. All right, that's it was what it was, and there's things attached to that. I don't think they got a good deal on this. I don't think anybody can argue they got good value on this deal. This is the first one I don't think Tim Conley's gotten really good value on, outside of the maxes.
Right.
But I do think it was a necessary deal.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right on all accounts, and that's really the story here. It was more than I expected, by a little bit. It's funny when we say, like, man, that was more than I expected. I expected just a flat 80. It's $8 million more than I expected, which at the end of the day, what does that matter? What's the difference? You have to look at this a couple ways. One is the contract tradable. I think let's table that for now, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. And two, it's just no player makes exactly what they're worth. No player in the NBA. And it's rare for a player even just to be in the tier of like, oh, that sounds about right. I mean, Michael Porter this year is going to make $5 million. He is worth significantly more than that. Aaron Gordon is going to make a lot more, you know, going forward. It's just the way it is when you are a title contending team. You don't get to say what is value in a vacuum. It is what is the value relative to what else is available to us. And to me, Aaron Gordon is a top-level one-way defender. What I mean by that is your top defenders are guys like Anthony Davis and Giannis Antetokounmpo and Jimmy Butler, guys that are two-way players, right? And they're max contract guys. If you talk about just guys that you feel confident locking down opposing teams scoring wings, Aaron Gordon to me is near or at the top of that list. He's not a great offensive player. So your question is, do you want the best perimeter, like wing defender, or do you want to try to compromise and get somebody less that? You want the best, and sometimes you have to overpay for the best. That's what the Nuggets did. And I think it is a great sign that they are serious about contending with this group for years to come.
Yeah, I want to get to that implication in the second segment. Can I play devil's advocate, or would you rather or not?
No, I mean, I absolutely. We can okay. Show every side of this because there are multiple sides.
So here's where I can make the argument on from a devil's advocate perspective. Again, you and I are in pretty strong alignment on this. I don't have a data point that shows that he has been that with his in his time with Denver that he was an elite defender. His individual defensive rating does not indicate that in terms of the impact that he made. That's usually where I go to is like, did you make the defense better? Like, was the defense just perform really well? Cause it's hard to like, these metrics are hard to really isolate defensively. Like I'll admit that his center, neither his individual synergy data for one-on-one defense nor his team level data suggests that he had that kind of an impact. Now, I think the eye test goes a long way. You and I watched it. It allows them to switch 1 through 5 outside of, or 1 through 4, essentially. 1 through 4 can switch. 1, 5, we've talked about it, plays 2 at the level. And that's a big deal, is that their ability to switch on ball and off ball, those screens, makes it a lot easier for them to help contain, which is their biggest defensive problem. Gordon's athleticism helps with rim protection. He did great work on Dame. But for, if you're going to say that he is middling to negative on the offensive end, I would think that you would want there to be some sort of concrete indicator that Gordon's defensive impact was as high as you're saying it is.
I don't. I mean, for one, I think you answered this in the first sentence when you said defense is hard to capture. And we also were dealing with such a small sample size. Here are the sample sizes that matter to me. He guarded Kawhi Leonard in a playoff series when Orlando went up against him, and he really bothered Kawhi, really did a great job against him. You watch him against Luka's and even Kawhi in the regular season in that short stretch, and he looked great. And most important of all, Denver is not going to win an NBA championship if, you know, Murray goes down or if MPJ's hurt or hobbled or Jokic isn't fully healthy. Gordon, I think your concern is when Murray went down, Gordon couldn't step up beyond what he's sort of good at. But my thing is, the Nuggets are only winning a championship with MPJ and Murray and Jokic. And Gordon, to me, fits so perfectly around those three guys. And to me, that's the only thing that matters, is you've got to maximize your best punch. And I think Gordon perfectly maximizes Denver's best punch.
Stan Van Gundy talked about this on a Low Post podcast a couple of years ago when he was the head of basketball operations and the head coach of the Detroit Pistons.
Yep.
I will note that that was absolutely catastrophic, an absolutely terrible, terrible run in which he made all sorts of mistakes. So that probably needs to get mentioned. But he did talk about
the combos, not great.
He did talk about the difference between, and he didn't put it in these terms, but this is how it is framed in market economics, is like it's market value versus investor value. And so the market value on, I think, Aaron Gordon is somewhere south of $20 million per year. I think the investor value for the Nuggets, for how he ties, I say this a lot, it's the Big Lebowski principle. He ties the room together.
Yep.
He's the connective tissue between Jokic and Murray and MPJ, allowing to cover for it. Like, it allows MPJ to play 4. Yep. While not having to deal with his weaknesses, all of these type of things, how he makes them play together. And Barton is part of this too. Like, Barton was part of those 5-man units that absolutely killed when they had to pay attention to Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray in the pick and roll and MPJ and Will Barton. Then Aaron Gordon got loose. When they paid attention to Gordon, Will Barton got loose. Like, those guys,
you mentioned him being like negative or less on average or less on offense. I actually don't think that's true. I think both Murray gets knocked for this, and I think Gordon really gets knocked for the fact that he was willing to play a role. And even when he was in Orlando, was willing to play a role. It'd be one thing if he was a high volume chucker where it's like, you're just not good at this. I think him scoring 11 points per game is a little bit on by design, because Denver doesn't need it more than that from him. So I don't think he's a negative. I think he's like, he's pretty versatile, which is helpful. He's just not a star offensively.
No, I was actually playing off of you there with the offensive discussion. I think he's got, this is the problem with Gordon, is that he's inconsistent. If he averages, like if he raises, if he just turns into a 34% three-point shooter instead of like the 27% he was with Denver, then this value looks a lot higher. You don't need to be a 40% shooter in the fourth best role,
right,
with who they have around him.
Right.
Even you need to be a guy that they're like, we really don't want to leave him open. We left him open. Crap, he knocked down 3 threes. Well, we have to guard him. Crap, now MBJ's killing us.
Even more than that, I think he's a guy they can give the ball to bring it up the court. I think he can initiate the offense, not as in like run the show, but as in he can dribble it up and get the ball so that Murray can run off screens or MPJ can do this or that. Like, he's versatile enough that you can actually have him do multiple things. He's just not going to step outside the lines. He shouldn't at least step outside the lines, but he can do a lot of different things.
Well, that was about, I think that plays a large part of it is, I think if he had stepped outside the lines, this becomes I don't think this, I honestly don't think this extension gets done.
Right.
Like,
right.
I think if he had come in and was still like, no, I need my touches. Like, give me the ball. I need ISO. Just trust me. And was failing at it the way that he had mostly done in Orlando. I think that this conversation is different. If he was clashing with the guys, if the chemistry fit wasn't right, then I think the Nuggets were like, we're going to have to figure out something else, you know?
Right.
But instead, he worked perfectly. He fit in. He bought in. He was extremely excited to play winning basketball. He would have nights where he would take five shots and be like, this is awesome.
Right.
Like, he bought in 100%. A lot of this simply gets into, I agree that for the Nuggets, he was, we'll talk about it after the break. I think he was worth it for them essentially at any price.
Right. And so it
makes sense that where they got to here and what that signals, I think, is more important than anything.
Their options were not Gordon at $88 million or Gordon at 80 or Gordon at 70 or Gordon on shorter years. It was Gordon or not Gordon. And if it was not Gordon, it was, we got to go into, you know, got one more year to either trade him or do this or that, or you just got to hope in a year's time you find another cheaper option that is just as good. I mean, look, their plan A, by the way, was Jeremy Grant. And that option became they allegedly were willing to go all the way up to $20 million, another overpay. But in hindsight, you look at that and go, yeah, that's their options were either him or not him. They rebounded nicely with Gordon, cost them more assets. And if they were not able to extend Gordon, I do think you go into the next summer, and if you just don't have a miracle fall into your lap, you might have to trade more assets to get the next best thing just so that you can have somebody that can guard Luka or Kawhi or LeBron in a playoff series.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about what this means for KSE and the future of the team after the break.
Yes.
But first, want to tell you about this, as I'm sure the Kronkies are doing right now. The temperature's getting hot because of the bill that they'll be facing in a couple of years on the tax credit. And they want to make sure that they're not sweating through their extremely nice Italian shirts. They're going to want to get Sweat Block. It is the absolute best way to prevent sweating. Doctor created, doctor recommended, works for up to 7 days per use. So they've got a dry shirt guarantee. If Sweat Block doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. Featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by firefighters. It's been a bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years with over 13,000 reviews and is currently number one in Amazon's antiperspirant category. You get to wear what you want to wear. You get your little secret to confidence. You don't ever have to worry about it. And it's a must-have for everyone's toiletry bag, whether it's a date or a presentation or whatever you need, Sweat Block. If you or someone you know is dealing with excessive sweating problems, you have to check out Sweat Block. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and CVS. We're also brought to you today by DirecTV. Does this sound familiar? You got one device that lets you catch the game live, another lets you stream your favorite TV shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone or streaming altitude on one of the other devices, and you've got your neighbor's best friend and login for the good stuff. I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream and brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place, including your Denver Nuggets, by the way, as one of the carriers of Altitude. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. The best part, no annual contract. Get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. We'll be right back on Locked On. Back here on Locked On Nuggets, thanks for making us part of your day. Emergency episode about the Aaron Gordon extension, first reported by Shams Charania of The Athletic. Mike Singer had reported that the two sides were very close and going to get a deal done before his honeymoon. Hope Mike's enjoying his honeymoon this week. So, as part of this, there is the follow-up question of, like, what's going to happen? Like, okay, but what about MPJ? I will just go ahead and tell you that I am expecting the deal with MPJ to be announced sometime before the start of training camp. It wouldn't be shocked if maybe it goes into preseason. I would say that before the start of the season, absolutely. I don't expect it to go any longer than that. If it goes longer than that, something has gone wrong that I'm not aware of right now. My understanding is that it's details. And if you listen to the show long enough, you know that what we've talked about in terms of how much money that's going to be, it's going to be that much money. So, Adam, between Nikola Jokic on a max, Jamal Murray on a max, MPJ on a max, and Aaron Gordon at $24 million per year, this team is going to be extremely expensive over the next four seasons.
Extremely.
And that means that there's a very good chance that the Nuggets will be facing the repeater tax, which is going to cost them even more. If you don't know how this works, I don't have all the details for you. You should look up CBAFAQ.com, which will explain absolutely everything, the indispensable Larry Kuhn document on the CBA. However, if you want the short thing, you pay $1 per luxury tax for a number of years. After a certain number, I believe it's three, then it goes into you are now paying double that, and it escalates depending on how much over the tax you are. These get very, very, very expensive. It will get now. It is not impossible to say that the Nuggets may come to a point where ownership says, hey, we didn't win a title. We went for it, didn't win. This thing's gotten a little stale. Gonna need you to cut some salary. Like, that's not insane to suggest down the line. This doesn't mean that this is gonna be I'll tell you, this isn't gonna be the core for the next 8 years.
Right.
I think that given that we expect Nikola to sign a max extension next summer or whenever he's available, I believe it's next summer, then they are going to be paying, I would say that they're going to be at least facing the repeater tax pretty quick. And that's
Did you freeze there? Yeah. So the thing I look at, a friend of the show, Bronco Squatch, tweeted this out. Assuming Michael Porter gets an extension done, which we both believe will happen, and that it's somewhere around a max, if not a full max, which I expect to happen, the Nuggets will have the fourth most expensive starting lineup in the NBA behind the Brooklyn Nets, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the LA Lakers. What do all those teams have in common? They're the top contenders. It's the top contenders in the league, the Nets, Lakers, and Bucks. That's 1, 2, 3 in whatever order you want to put them. And Denver views themselves as that. And this is just what you have to do in today's NBA. If you want to compete, you have to push all your chips in and be willing to go into it. Now, two other points here. One, how you use salary cap. We talked about this at the start of the offseason. It's not just about paying guys and here's our roster. The Nuggets are inflating their salary cap, meaning they are paying guys an enormous amount of money. And if it doesn't work out, they should be able to trade for pieces that they do believe in. That also allows them to spend in a lot of money. So, for example, if they're spending $200 million on salary, you get to trade pieces and you also have $200 million. If you didn't bring some of these guys back, if you got cheap, maybe your salary cap is at $150, and when you make trades, you're stuck within certain restrictions at that one around that $150 mark. So the Nuggets have bloated their salary cap. It looks like they probably will be in the luxury tax next season, and I would expect probably for a couple seasons. But even if it doesn't work, Jokic, Murray, Porter, Gordon, I think those are guys that are championship pieces for every team in the NBA, and there probably will be suitors. Even if you have to pay a slight premium, like, okay, we have to attach something to it, you're at the point where those guys are all good, and putting a slight premium on it to get rid of a guy, that's just what you do when you're at this stage.
Yeah, you mentioned in the first segment that basically the option here was Gordon or not Gordon. And right. So like they were going to be cap strapped anyway because they have two max players on contract and they're soon to add a third.
Right. Yep.
Like, and they re-signed Barton and then J Mike. So like they were going to be cap strapped anyway. They would have gotten into this summer. And if they had not signed Gordon to extension, either would have had to pay more to keep him and go over an offer. And this is where the primary question comes in, is you can in good faith argue no one was going to offer $24 million or even $20 million for Aaron Gordon. Right. However, I would counter that with Lonzo Ball just got 85 for a non-primary secondary ball handler, secondary creator. Like that's how he's described, is he's a secondary creator. I like Lonzo a lot more than I did 2 years ago, right? His shooting is improved. I like what he brings in terms of his playmaking. The defense is, he's good as help, but not as a on-ball defender, but that's okay. Like, there's a number of ways in which, like, but I just look at Lonzo Ball getting $85 million and go, wow, that's a lot. It just takes one team. It takes one team being like, yeah, we will go for that. I mean, a lot of the idea around Jeremy Grant, I don't think a lot of people expected him to get $20 million per year.
Right.
I think it is reasonable to say, you can make the argument, you could say, well, is Aaron Gordon really worth, in total contract value, $32 million more than Jeremy Grant, or prorated per year if you've given Grant the fourth year? Is he worth $12 million more, which is like a good NBA rotation player?
Can we play that game in the next one, in the next segment? Because I do – that is a fun game to just kind of go back and say, like, is he better than this guy, Robert Covington or whatever, but P.J. Tucker, you know, in his prime, whatever.
Yeah. Well, we can go back and do that in the last segment. I think – look, we've been one of – I'll say this. The Kroenkes are extremely sensitive about any implication that they are cheap. And I have not necessarily shied away from that implication through the years.
Right.
I think that they were extremely cheap and not resigning. Like, I think they should have gone above and beyond to resign Masai Ujiri. Tim Connelly's been amazing. He's been fantastic. He's built a championship contender. At the time, keeping Masai Ujiri was a no question. And their decision, in from my understanding, was largely built on how much the Kroenkes were willing to pay. Mm. They have always resisted paying more for front office structures. They've always resisted paying more for coaching. Like, this has been a consistent trend. There are criticisms to be leveled about their lack of a training facility, of an outside the arena training facility, about all these other little things. However, the Kroenkes have maintained one message, which is, if we have a championship contender, we'll pay for it. We'll pay the tax to win a championship in Denver. This is proof of that. This is proof of concept.
I feel a little bit like George Bush standing on the aircraft carrier, mission accomplished. I guess, because they actually haven't paid the luxury tax yet, but it does.
Yep.
They are setting themselves up too. Here's what I would say is, it would be a bit of a disgrace if they were not willing to go into the tax next year, and they are. This move sets them up to go into the tax, not just next year, but it appears to open up a window. Yes, Barton is only under contract for 2 years, but of all the five players, he's the most replaceable. I still think he's great, but he's the most replaceable. So you look at the core four and you say, yeah, that looks like those guys can now be together for 3 years and even more beyond that. So will they pay the luxury tax for all of those years? That's the thing that they set themselves up. They did everything they're supposed to. Let's wait and see. We'll see if it happens. But I am impressed that it looks like they're at least willing to do that. And it begs a question for me, Matt. People wanted them to go to the luxury tax back in 2017. I know, because I remember it. And they didn't do it. And it would have been fun. Maybe Denver got into the playoffs a little bit earlier, and, you know, 1 year earlier, this or that. But it does make you wonder, would you rather a team be cheap in the rebuild process and not go all in, but then save it all up to go for a 4 year stretch where you have to get into the repeater tax and do this or that? And do you think maybe that was the Kroenkes' plan all along of, hey, we'll slow play this, but when it's time, we'll be pushed in for a long time?
I think it was, but that's also dependent on ifs, right? Like, they're like, if this works out the way that we think, then we'll absolutely do this. The problem is a lot of times people want ownership to commit the money to get them to that spot. And ownership always wants you to be able to be like, I will pay because we know we're at that spot. I know this is worth it relative to our expectations. You don't ever, like, I try and explain this a lot. In my opinion, having just talked to various people that are close in ownership circles and a few owners, there's a level of competition. Everyone thinks that the owners are just competing with each other for wins and championships. No. Like, this is a lot of it. They want to win while also making more money than each other. That's how billionaires judge it, these things.
Right.
They're businessmen. That's how they judge these things. And so if you're able to win a championship and pay less, that's like another thing that you're able to say is like, yeah, I won a championship and you won a championship, but I paid 30% less than you did. Like, this actually does matter to them. If that grosses you out, I don't blame you, but this is like part of the equation. I think it's interesting in terms of Gordon has a fourth year option. Trenia reported that. I confirmed that through source. Right. He's got a, not that he needed to, but he's got a fourth year option. With that being the lay of the land on this, that does mean that, like, you know, theoretically, if Gordon opts out, that's when they could pivot. I'll say this though, like you said, you know, they haven't paid the tax yet. I don't know how they avoid it.
I know. It's kind of true. They are set up to have to pay it.
Yeah. Like, well, I'll say this. If they don't, then that means that there will be no getting around the fact that they actively made the team worse to not. Right. Like,
well, if assuming they extend MPJ, it would mean that they traded Murray or MPJ or Jokic or something like that. Yeah. Like, I just don't see it happening. I don't see that.
You know, and like, look, there's been a lot of these teams that were set up and it's like they're good to go and then it just doesn't work out. Things change. And that's this will probably change. But you make the best decision that you can at the time. And I have a hard time faulting the Nuggets for committing this, given that, again, like this is what it comes down to is I do think that they were up against the wall in negotiations with Clutch in terms of they knew that the Nuggets would not be able to replace him if they lost him because you would already be at the cap. So you'd be trying to replace Aaron Gordon. And if you like ballpark it, if you're somebody that thinks like, well, I don't think he's worth $24 million. I think he's only worth like 16 to 18. Okay. If you only have $9 million left at the cap.
Right. Yeah. Right?
It doesn't matter. You're not able to get there. And so you just don't have the cap room in order to get there. And you're likely paying for an even bigger overpay for a worse player then. Right. So that's all part of it. Let's take another break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the Jeremy Grant comparison and the comparison of other players and look at the market value as we continue the discussion about Aaron Gordon's extension here on Locked On Nuggets. But first, well, the Nuggets can say that they got themselves a deal. And if you're looking for a deal on auto parts, you want to go to rockauto.com. You like that one?
It was good. That was not bad.
It's good. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning while the person behind the counter orders the parts for your on their computer when you could just use your own computer and get the parts that you need right away at rockauto.com? You can save time and money. You'll often save up to 30%, 50%, even 100% for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership at rockauto.com. For an example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from your local chain store. It's only $216 from Rock Auto. They're a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Go explore their easy-to-use website to find the solution for your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. We'll be right back. Betting on the Nuggets doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicap expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. Final segment here with Adam Mares. We talk about the Aaron Gordon extension, 4 years, $92 million. Aaron?
I got something for you real quick. Before we go there, can I give you something?
Go.
I have an idea for the Cronkies. I think if you're listening to the Stan and Josh, this is your moment. You can totally capture the hearts and minds of everybody in the city of Denver. Because look, there's two things we've beat up on the Nuggets for, or for the Cronkies for. And one of them is, you know, made the perception of being cheap and even being cheap in the areas you've kind of mentioned. This is them. Hey, we're willing. We're doing what we said we're going to do. But the other area they deserve the criticism for is the fact that they're not on Comcast. This is a great time for them to, one, announce for the team to this dispute to end, which I don't think the Cronkies want to do because it would be perceived as losing. But you know, I've heard a lot of things lately about the people running the show at the top with Altitude and some of the disputes that have arisen with one particular, I'll even drop a name, with Matt Hutchinson. And there's an opportunity that if we are 2 years into a dispute and the people you entrusted to handle these disputes are not getting them done, there's an excellent opportunity to, one, avoid the blame, and two, win the goodwill of everybody in Denver. Put them on TV, and if it requires making a move to do so, do so. But this is the last thing that I think is very fair criticisms for the Cronkies that is only going to get louder this year. So if you go into a third consecutive season with a large portion of the city unable to view them, it's just no matter what luxury tax you pay, it's not going to be acceptable. So this is a great chance for them to completely reset here in the city of Denver.
Good point. Or they could put it on Hulu TV because I got Hulu TV now and that's what I want them to do. So they could just do that. That would be great. I would just prefer it. Just put out.
I just want everybody to have access to it. Imagine, Matt, if this really is the start of a run for the Nugget. They really compete. Western Conference Finals, maybe NBA Champions. You get to do all of this in 1 year. They will build a statue of you right there, right outside the Capitol building. It'll be Stan Kroenke's his head. It'll be great. So this is a great opportunity. Don't blow it.
So I think the number with Gordon, I think, is very interesting, right? Because here is what I'd heard when he was in Orlando. And one of the reasons why I was like, oh boy, I don't know about this, was I had heard that his camp was expecting in free agency to generate offers of $25 million per year. He wound up getting $1 million less per year. We talked about how, like, it only takes that one team. We talked about how this doesn't really change anything except for the luxury tax bill for the Nuggets. This doesn't limit their ability to sign other players. They're not going to find a better replacement for that. I do think it's kind of interesting to look at it. Jeremy Grant, they traded the first round pick for Jeremy Grant. They bring him on. They think that he's the guy. They're so excited. They think it's a huge win. They celebrated that deal like nothing else. And they matched the offer from Detroit of 3 years, $60 million. And Jeremy obviously makes a decision that he'd rather play for a variety of reasons, including playing for a black GM and a black coach. Totally understandable. Right. That he wants to play for the Pistons. Had himself a wonderful year. Was in contention for most improved player. If Julius Randle hadn't been nuts, he may have won. You know, showed that he could be a number one option, albeit for a not great team. Did show that he has a lot of skills that he can do. If they had paid Jeremy Grant $92 million, I think I probably feel the exact same way. I don't know how to differentiate between these two. Jeremy's shooting is so much better than Aaron's. I would say that Aaron's defense is way, way, way better, but Jeremy showed so much in the playoff run in 2020. I think that's tough. I don't really know how to parse the differential here between the two. It's moot. Because the Nuggets tried to keep Grant, but couldn't. I guess maybe if you look at this just in the objective terms, here's part of it. If they had re-signed Grant, they're still going to be in the luxury tax. They'd still be giving MPJ the extension this summer. They would still be in the luxury tax. It's not like that differential between if they paid Jeremy the 4 years means that they could have gotten Jeremy and a $12 million player instead of Gordon.
Right, right.
That's not how it works because of the cap. Right. So it really is just that differential.
A one-for-one swap, really, yeah.
So trying to judge, I think, Gordon's value, like I will say, I think that the Nuggets paid more than Gordon's market value? I do. I think part of this is tied into, we've talked about this a lot, like they want to be a team that broadcasts that they take care of guys. They picked up the option on Paul Millsap for $30 million. Right?
Right.
Like they did a lot of stuff. They have done a lot of things to basically show that they are not an organization that doesn't care about you. They are not an organization that is just ruthless. Like they have agonized over trading all these guys. They've built strong personal relationships with all these guys. And that's part of it, but it also meant that in this context, that didn't get them a deal. That didn't get them a discount. I think Will Barton took less than I think his market value may have generated ultimately. I think Aaron Gordon got still above market value. It just doesn't ultimately matter.
Right. Yeah. It's funny comparing him and Jeremy Grant, because the thing about Jeremy Grant was he was really underwhelming, for most of the year. And unlike Aaron Gordon, when we talk about regular season, Jeremy Grant kept coming up in the negative, whereas Aaron Gordon with the starters was like an enormous positive. The playoffs do matter, and I thought Jeremy Grant especially had a good series against the Lakers, but I don't know if everybody will agree with this or what the percentage is. I actually like Aaron Gordon significantly more than Jeremy Grant as a
fit. So interesting to me that you like him more. Tell me why.
I think he's an actual good defender, and I don't think Jeremy Grant is. Okay. And he's just a lot stronger, more physical. And he just handling the ball. Like, his shooting is the only thing that I don't like as much. But I think that his ability to handle the ball, I predict he's going to run a lot more pick and rolls this year, bring the ball up the court a lot more. And then just personality and culture fit, he just seems like a much better fit there. So to me, it's just the shooting is that Jeremy Grant has on.
Which is interesting because like spacing was a really key component for you for all the lineups featuring Jokic for years.
But Denver has so much spacing. I mean, Murray, Barton, MPJ, Jokic, that's great spacing. I think physically, now you look at it and you say, okay, he's a lot more physical. He can be more physical. You combine him with MPJ, and I just think Denver – it's weird. This happened last year. I think Denver is going to be more athletic than teams And it's like teams trying to match up with Denver's athleticism is going to be a real thing this year.
It's crazy how they've transformed in that regard. You and I talked a lot about that at the trade for Gordon. Funny because I think the perception on Will Barton is that he's not a good shooter. Like, I think that's the perception. And just to go over it, 2017, 37%, following year, 37%, dipped in 2019 in 43 games to 34. Then back up to 37.5, and then last year 38%. He's basically been a 37% shooter the last six seasons. So
I think that's what he is for sure.
Yeah, and so if you have that kind of like, and we know MPJ is an elite shooter, so I like the fact that you are basically saying, well, look, we have the Nuggets have three good to elite shooters. That's enough. We can afford one guy if he brings all these other things to the table. Gordon's passing, I thought, was really underrated last season. It's one of the biggest things at the table. You need guys that are willing to move the ball. Ball can't
stick.
And it's not just a decision-making process either. Some guys are not going to move the ball because they literally just are not good in those spots. It's not that they are like selfish. They just freeze and don't. But Gordon makes reads extremely quickly. He knows where to move the ball. He's a smart player. Like, Aaron Gordon is a really smart basketball player, which I think is something I underrated about him when he came here, was how high his basketball IQ was. I was like, oh, he really understands like seamlessly fitting into the, like he fit in really well for a team that had no practice time, no meeting time, was on the fly, and everybody was injured. There has been, I'm just kind of going over some of the final critiques that I've seen on the social medias. So one of them is just, look, you can't trust that sample from between when they traded for Gordon and Murray. They didn't play a lot of good teams. They did beat the Clippers, but they didn't beat a lot of good teams. It was short sample. When they looked bad, they looked really bad. They did start to tail off. I think they were exhausted by that point. How much, I guess here's my question. I put quite a lot of stock into it. I'm just like, look, they were killing teams. They looked like they were starting to be like, the Nuggets might win the title. Like
they looked better than they have at any point in this era of the Nuggets basketball. And I don't think it's like particularly close. Even in the bubble when they were playing great, it was some heroics from Jokic and Murray. But I just thought the game was coming very easy to them in that small sample size when they had everybody healthy.
So I think one thing I wanted to kind of talk about was just, I will say that my expectation, I think there's going to be a lot of LOL, the Nuggets pay $24 million for this come playoff time, because I don't expect Jamal. I think Jamal has to be 90% or better for Gordon to look like he's like, oh, that's why they paid for him. That's
true.
That's my personal opinion, is like this year is going to be, but I will just kind of stress this, is I got like somebody was like, yeah, but Murray's not going to be back until midseason. I was like, well, they did not sign Aaron Gordon to a 4-year deal for the first 50 games of the season.
right.
Like, and what, this is a big point though, because we just really put a lot into this of, we look at signing a deal and we talk about where the team is now. And then you do not sign a player for that. You sign a player for the duration of the contract. If you only cared about next season, you wouldn't have signed him to the extension because you already have him.
Right.
You have him, and then you have him beyond. And so you're going to have the opportunity to like, okay, this is good, but we need this. And like, all right, the bench units are like this, et cetera. Again, this is assuming the MPJ extension gets done. As long as the MPJ extension gets done, which I have no reason not to, I got to say, man, this also makes the Will Barton and J. Mike re-signings more impressive. Like, it's one thing to re-sign J. Mike and Will Barton if you're like, yeah, we're going to try and save on the other deals.
Right, but totally.
They're looking at shelling out a ton of money for the third and fourth best players on the Denver Nuggets.
You have to tip your hat to the, I mean, I'm sorry. I know we'll see how it goes down the road, but for right now, this is a very impressive moment for the Kroenkes.
No, and like,
they really are walking the walk here.
But this is important, because we're going to get, if you're positive, then you're going to get tagged as being homers. And I need to be really clear on this. I've been really critical of the Kroenkes because they have not shown the kind of stuff that they've indicated. They've always, like, the message has always been that they'll pay for talent right. on the court. They believe in paying for that. And right. if it was worth it, they would. I have to credit them for literally putting their money where their mouth is. Like, I have to give them credit on this. It's time for them to get a real practice facility. It's probably time for some of the other things that they're going to, they renovated the locker rooms, made a lot of renovations to Pepsi Center. All that stuff, I think, helped. Locker rooms are fantastic now. Like, the players love it. But there's other stuff that they got to do. Tim Connelly was one of the lowest paid executives in the league. Now he's not. He's earned that. I think the same will be true of Calvin Booth as he grows and expands. All the guys have gotten promotions. The Cronkies in a recession without the TV money. Like, we're in a pandemic impacted economy, right? Without all that revenue that, like, I thought for sure that there would be impacts from the Comcast stuff. I was like, well, they're going to have to make up the altitude money somewhere, to their credit, the way that I honestly think that we want billionaires to do. Like, they've just been like, no, I have billions. We'll pay for it. We think this is going to generate it. You know, look, the comparison here is, I think, the Milwaukee Bucks, who decided not to pay for PJ Tucker. The difference there is the Bucks really did. If you can make a good faith argument for the Bucks there and just be like, do you really think that PJ Tucker is worth it? The level between where Aaron Gordon is at now and where PJ Tucker is at in his career is so massive.
Exactly. Yeah. This is PJ Tucker 8 years ago or 7 years ago, really, is the comp. But I mean, this is why I wanted to do this is, when I say you talk about your best defenders in the league, you've got Kawhi Leonard. Okay. He's a max superstar. You got Paul George, max superstar. You've got Jimmy Butler, max superstar. Giannis, max superstar. Ben Simmons, max superstar. Pascal Siakam's even a max superstar. Like, after you get through that tier, who are you really talking about? I mean, these are the guys that are like Robert Covington and your PJ Tucker. I think Aaron Gordon is just as good, if not better, than all of those guys personally. Jeremy Grant's another one of those comps, and he's very versatile. And so, and in addition to, we know that he fits. So to me, he is in the top tier of non-star defensive forwards.
Here's an interesting comp that takes a little bit more explanation. Draymond Green is making $24 million this season. Okay. Yeah. I don't think anybody would say that Aaron Gordon is as good as Draymond Green. Draymond Green is a worse shooter than Gordon. It's a low bar, but he's a worse shooter. However, like, Draymond leads one of the best offenses in the league in assists. He's a phenomenal passer, and he's an all defense, all time top five, I think, defender of all time. I think he's on that.
Draymond's almost his own tier because of how good he is at this specific
game. And additionally, his contract was signed when the cap was lower. This is a big part of it. You sign as a, basically, these contracts are all based on a percentage of the cap. So you look at his value is based off of the percentage of the cap, but once it's set, that doesn't increase as the cap goes up, right? So Aaron Gordon signing for 19% of the cap or whatever doesn't go up as the cap goes up, and the cap is expected to go up. This is a big part of it. Gordon's percentage of the cap will be less by the end of his contract than it is now by a significant margin. The same way that Draymond's contract at the time is a lot less less now as a percentage than it was when he signed it. When he signed it, it was huge. And now it's like, oh, it's $24 million. It's not bad for Draymond Green. So that's part of like the equation on this, is like, it will get better with age. Another comparison here is John Collins got $23 million as an extension off of his rookie deal. Like, I'll just say this, like, I think John Collins is going to be one of the most impactful players in the league for a couple of years for non-stars, like elite shooter, not elite, top level shooter. I think his defense is going to only get better. He's a good playmaker. He makes big rebounds. Like, John Collins is a phenomenal guy. But Aaron Gordon's older, and this is like his prime contract. So I think ultimately there's a lot of ways that you can, I cannot tell you that I can look at this and say that the Nuggets got good value. But it also, there's a point at which anything over, I think, $20 million, and I'm basically, which is the Jeremy Grant contract, anything over $20 million a year, I am basically of the opinion it doesn't really matter. It could have been 28, it could have been 22. The value is relatively the same given the Nuggets cap mechanics.
Okay. Interesting. Is there anybody else that's in this tier, by the way? Because most of your great defensive players are just superstars, but is there anybody else that you look at and you're like, that's a great defender whose offense is just, you know, average?
Let me look.
We got to be forgetting somebody, but I can't really think of who it is.
And I'm only looking at power forwards. He's better than Thaddeus Young.
Right.
Let's look at small forwards and see that.
coming to combo, but yeah. I mean, I like him a lot more than Robert Covington, even like prime Robert Covington, which has kind of passed us by.
What's like funny is a lot of these numbers, I'm looking at the cap hits on Sportrack, like a lot of these numbers Gordon fits in the middle of. So like, it's like Jeremy Grant and then like Draymond. And then there's like, here's the one for small forwards. Like Harrison Barnes is making 20.2. Harrison Barnes is really good. Like
he's more of an offensive equivalent though to me.
But like his defense is like solid to good. Right.
Solid. And then, yeah, offense is more dynamic.
Yeah. Like, you know, so he's making 20. I mean, a good comparison here is like, well, okay, the Warriors' fourth best player is probably Andrew Wiggins, making $31 million a year.
It's not a good comp because that one's so absurd.
Yeah.
So absurd.
Yeah. That's the thing is like, most of the defensive guys, like Clint Capella is making 18.
Jay Crowder would be like another example of this. Ooh. You know, Jay Crowder, you know, he can do some stuff on offense, but he's there to be your defensive guy.
Yeah, Jay's only making 9.7.
It's a great deal, great value.
Yeah, so like they get good value on him. Kyle Anderson, I think, is another good one.
Yep.
At 9.9.
Yep. I like Gordon significantly more.
TJ Warren is maybe the inverse of Gordon.
Yeah, all offensive. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's only making 12.9. So again, like I can't tell you that Aaron Gordon, the Nuggets got a really good deal on Aaron Gordon. They paid right. a heavy price for Aaron Gordon, but ultimately they believe that this is it. This is the core that's going to bring a championship to Denver. They may be wrong. That's part of it. And if you ask them, I guarantee you, if you ask the Nuggets, unlike some other front offices, they'd be like, no, this is going to work. No, like, right. It's going to work. Like the Nuggets would tell you like, yeah, maybe we're wrong.
Right. Totally.
It's hard. Yep. But
it's their best bet. To me, it's just their best bet.
Their best bet. You get your money in with the best hand. That's what the Nuggets have done.
Yep.
They've gotten their money in with the best hand. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of Locked On Nuggets. We'll be back this week with more coverage. I've got some previews on the Southwest Division coming up to talk about more of how that division is going to look out and what the Nuggets playoff contenders that they're going to have to compete with are going to look like. Be on the lookout for that. I've got some other guests that I'm percolating on, and we'll have other episodes throughout the week. Adam, thanks for your time today.
This was fun, man. This is exciting.
It's an exciting time. We have news. Training camp.
We have news.
Ever closer. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you guys again next time on Locked On Nuggets.